Well, welcome to our third quiet talk about The Shack. In the first couple of talks, we looked at some of the introductory material, even before getting to the book. And at this point, we're getting more onto the book, but we're still talking primarily in terms of sort of things that we need to talk about before looking at the book. And I want to talk this time about when fiction talks about God. When fiction talks about God. Fiction, imaginative writing, is a type of writing in which people can explore all kinds of ideas, all kinds of thoughts, ranging from what would have happened had the Nazis won the Second World War, through to what may human life be like in the future if we do such and such. What, for example, happens if man creates robots that have their own consciousness? So fiction can explore all kinds of interesting things. You can go from your world into another world in which things are different, and you can explore all kinds of exciting and interesting themes that way. It's a use of the human imagination, and it can be used rightly or wrongly. But modern Western fiction doesn't do a lot of talking about God. It does sometimes, but not very often. And it can be very interesting when people try. Now, I'm not going to talk about comedy and times when the idea of God is played for laughs, but more or less serious depictions of God. And there are various ways in which this can be done. The most obvious, one of the older methods, is allegory in John Bunyan's book The Holy War, for example. Less well known than Pilgrim's Progress, but it's very, very good. Very interesting. You have a character who is Prince Emmanuel, who of course is Jesus, who is sent out commanding his father's army to retake man's soul, which has been conquered by the Diabolonians. And the city, of course, stands for humanity. So, allegory, in which a particular character or characters stand for God. Another genre is fantasy. C.S. Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia come to mind, with Aslan the Lion, who is in that fantasy-invented world of Narnia. He is, in that world, what Jesus is in the real world. He stands in relation to Jesus in that way. You have other books, other works of fiction, in which a character who is introduced as an ordinary human being later turns out to be a divine character, turns out to be God. And you have all kinds of ways in which this is done. And then you have those books in which a character is introduced who is specifically God. And that can be very difficult. The Shack falls under the heading of what one of the endorsements describes as, it is Mike Morell, a guy meets God novel. That is to say, a story in which the lead character or characters has an encounter with a person who is explicitly God, or person or persons, in the case of The Shack, who is explicitly God. And then in the course of the novel, through the relation of these two characters, you have an unfolding, an explanation, an exploration, either of the nature of God or of the nature of man, or a bit of both. But either way, the God character in a Guy Meets God novel is there to lead our hero or heroes on a, or our protagonist or protagonists, on a journey of exploration, either theological, primarily, that is about God, or primarily anthropological, that is about himself. internal exploration of man or internal exploration of God or both again. Now, in the shack, that's precisely what happens after the initial material where we're introduced to Mac and his great sadness, where we have a lengthy flashback dealing with what happened when Missy died. We are introduced then to a situation. Our hero drives up to the mountains, goes to the shack, and he's about to run off again when he goes back to the shack, and suddenly the whole thing. He's on his way away from the shack. He turns around, blast of hot air, turns around, and suddenly it's a beautiful cottage, and there are these three people there. And three people at the shack are this large beaming African-American woman, this Middle Eastern Jewish man, and this ethereal Asian woman. And these characters are, of course, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, according to the book. There's an attempt, in other words, to portray the Trinity. And that inevitably fails. You can't do it. I'm reminded of a parody of the Boy Scout song that J.I. Packer used in one of his writings. They said it couldn't be done. He said, there's nothing to it. He tackled the job with a grin and couldn't do it. Some things are impossible. Some things you can't do. And I would suggest that depicting the Trinity in fiction is one of them. You can try, but it's not going to work. Why is that? Well, it's because God has chosen to reveal himself to us in a particular way. God has chosen to reveal himself to us in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, in the incarnation, in that, as the Apostle John puts it, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And John 1:18, the classic text on this, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. And then in John chapter 14, Jesus says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? You see, in him, that is in Jesus, all the fullness of deity dwells bodily, in bodily form. In Jesus, God is with man. That's why Jesus is called Emmanuel, God with us. And therefore, when we meet Jesus, when we see Jesus, we see God. And in a mysterious way, he is the brightness of his Father's glory. As William Gadsby puts it in one of his hymns, in the person of the Saviour, all his majesty is seen. So God primarily interacts with us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's to say this, you see, in the shack, you have God the Father takes on a human appearance and tailors that appearance so as not to be off-putting to Mac. Mac has had this abusive father, and therefore Mac has problems with father figures. So, as Papa in the shack says, he takes this female appearance, but called Papa, in order to have this sort of dissonance, so that Mac isn't put off by the male appearance, but at the same time knows that this female appearance is just that, an appearance. And later on, after Mac has worked through his issues with his father, Papa takes a male appearance. So it's an appearance, it's not a reality. But you see, That's part of the problem here. It is just an appearance. It's not a reality. But in Jesus Christ, in the incarnation, God has not just taken on himself the appearance of humanity, but the actuality of humanity, the reality, the substance, not just the appearance. That the Word became flesh. And there's a very good reason, of course, why the Apostle John was guided by the Holy Spirit to use this word flesh. You know, we can talk about humanity in a sort of abstract sense, but Jesus says, no, the Word became, John says, no, the Word became flesh, not abstract, not humanity in a sanitized sense, but flesh and blood, the one who bled, died, suffered, who was born, who grew up. God became a real human being, didn't just take the appearance of a human being. And God comes to us in Jesus. He doesn't come to us in an appearance, the Father without the Son. He doesn't come to us in an appearance in any other way. And so when we try to depict the Trinity, we fail. And these failures can be, to use the pop culture slang term, more or less epic. I remember visiting one of the old rural churches in Derbyshire, one of these ones that was basically pretty much untouched by the Puritans. It's in the middle of nowhere, down bottom of a valley, and I think people failed to find where it was. But there's a stained glass window there in which there is a medieval attempt to depict the Trinity. And of course, because it's medieval, it shows God the Father as a white-haired, white-bearded king with a big crown on his head, and God the Son, of course, Jesus crucified, being held by the Father, and the Holy Spirit as a dove. And actually, now, yes, God is spoken of as a king, but we're not supposed to think of God the Father as being a king on a throne, a white king or a black king or an Asian king or any other kind of king, of human king. God the Father isn't a man, or a woman for that matter. And the Holy Spirit appears in the form of a dove, but the Holy Spirit isn't a bird. Once we try to depict the Trinity, we are bound to make mistakes. And that's what happens in the shack. Because what we end up with in the shack is an image of the Trinity as three separate human beings who have a really great relationship. Three separate human beings who are really good friends, get on really well together, and live in the same house together. And it's the Trinity is three really, really loving, really friendly housemates. Which is bound to distort the idea, but then any attempt to go beyond what the Bible says is distorting the idea. The human imagination is a wonderful thing, but there are things that the human imagination should not and cannot reach. It's like any attempt to depict heaven. To give another example, any and every human attempt to depict a perfect human being using the human imagination is going to fail because we have no experience of a perfect human being. So you either get a character who is just bland and boring and awful because they're just bland, or you get a character who is insufferably smug and awful, and awkward and insufferably smug, or a character who comes across as basically a complete and total villain. Somebody who is just nasty. Because we can't imagine a perfect human being. I've read enough fiction, seen enough fiction to notice that. And so it is when trying to depict the Trinity. The Trinity is a mystery. Now, in the Bible, a mystery is not something that we don't know about. It's something that we can't know about without divine revelation. Now, here's to say, God must reveal it. And so the shack's depiction of God fails because it tries to do the impossible. And on that point, we'll close this quiet talk. And in the next one, we'll look at some of the things that the god of the shack says and does. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.